Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
Great to be with you on a Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Presented by the Nebraska Lottery, Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and you. A lot to get to. Hope your weekend was spent with family and friends. And top news for Nebraska, for Iowa, for many in the college football world with Coach Bob Elliott's passing. We will discuss what all he did for many in his life. This hour and next, we'll get caught up with part of the Notre Dame broadcast team and a Hall of Famer at Notre Dame, running back All-American mid-80s, and he's been part of the Notre Dame network for going on a decade plus. Alan Pinkett will be with us in about 15 minutes. We'll talk to Alan about Coach Elliott, get his thoughts. We'll spend some time this hour as well on the Home Run Derby. Coach McBride, Mondays with Charlie in 1 hour. And then some more thoughts, not only from Coach McBride, but from Coach Jim Walden, former coach in Iowa State. Gentleman Jim will be with us in hour two. Can tap the line, 466-3776, 466-3776. Toll-free, 1-800-825-5865. Can tap the line, Shillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. And you're welcome to find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at TJ underscore Henning. Can email us Chris at HailVarsity.com. So a couple of thoughts on Bob Elliott. And I've done a lot of research today on Coach Elliott. I remember his press conference. I remember having Coach McBride and Coach Walden in when he was hired back in February. And they can't say enough about the person. And condolences to family, an extended family, and the coaching fraternity, because there's just a lot of sadness. And you look at a guy like Bob Elliott, motivator, a fighter, personification of toughness, and a guy that when I look at what he did as a coach and the programs he went to, and we're talking almost 40 years of coaching, he's the guy that came to a program, not only paid it forward to younger assistants, coached them up, made them better for really great heights in their career. Without spending time or working with Bob Elliott, you don't know how awesome Brett Bielema could be. You don't know where Bob Diaco is really good. Brett Bielema is very good. They're very talented, but they had that intersection. They had that mentorship, that tutoring that went on. And you have that famed Iowa coaching tree from Coach Hayden Fry. And Bob Elliott's certainly part of that. But I look at where Bob Elliott went throughout his career, and it started really from a major, a Power 5 school at Iowa in 87. He wasn't the defensive coordinator, but he was coming in to help shore up Barry Alvarez's departure to Notre Dame in 1987. And Iowa kind of gets back to what Iowa was in the mid-80s, thanks to Bob Elliott. They get to a Rose Bowl in 1990. He leaves Iowa, does a couple of tours with them, helps the transition to Ferentz. And meanwhile, you want to talk about perseverance, the guy's dream job was to be the head coach at Iowa. And because of health reasons and concerns, he could not coach. But he kept battling. He didn't let it stymie him. He was able to move forward. Ends up at Iowa State, Dan McCarney. Maybe you remember those early 2000 Iowa State teams. And you have a 9-3 and a 7-5 mark. Iowa State went to a bowl game for the first time since 1978, that first year Coach Elliott was there. It was year six for McCarney. They're best friends, they're roommates. Coach McCarney, according to stories out, was at bedside when Coach Elliott passed. But he's a guy that coaches would actively go get because of his reputation, because of his ability to connect with players, to go from player and coach relationship to father-son. type relationship. Left Iowa State. Kansas State reels off a couple 11-win seasons because Coach Snyder says, I want you to be the man in charge of my defense down here in Manhattan. Coach Elliott says, all good, I'll do that. And by the way, can you help groom this guy named Brett Bielema? And you have two 11-win seasons. You have a Big 12 championship. You thump Oklahoma. Chuck Long, I know he does analyst work for the Big Ten and was one of the best quarterbacks, maybe the best quarterback ever in Iowa history. He had his own program for a while. First guy he plucks, Bob Elliott. Down in San Diego State, a return trip. Not quite the same type of success under Coach Rhodes, but another bowl trip for Iowa State. You can go down a hit list of teams Iowa State beat in that two-year window. And then year three, and Alan Pinkel will tell you this in about 15 minutes, how year three makes you at Notre Dame. Lou Holtz won a national championship his third year. Other coaches have to be playing for or on that front doorstep of a national championship at Notre Dame. They have to be by year three. Otherwise, you're gone shortly. What type of success are you having? Well, he gets to Notre Dame. Notre Dame goes unbeaten in the regular season. Their pass defense is incredible. And Bob Elliott's the reason for it, along with Bob Diaco being there. And Nebraska was extremely happy and lucky to get Bob Elliott for four short months. And you look at the Twitter response from the JoJo Domans of the world, the Lamar Jacksons of the world, just those guys in the secondary that are going to be key this year or next. Their response, very sincere, very loving, and it was in unison of thank you. So we'll spend some time today remembering Coach Bob Elliott. SB Nation is out with their power rankings. Bill Conley, and you know what he thought of Nebraska? Teej, let's dive into this for a little bit here. In the Big Ten power rankings, you get four tiers. Do you agree with that in the Big Ten?
I can. It's interesting, one team is alone in a single tier.
I think he's right.
But I think he's right.
We'll get into that. So here's what you have with the Big Ten power rankings, and I respect Bill Conley's work. It's a lot of sabermetrics and data and smart math that I'm not smart at math. So your first tier is, you know, repeat it with me, Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan. And that just kind of comes down to expectations, returning starters, what history says, schedule. I mean, there's a lot of data points that go into this. And you have the two most experienced quarterbacks, 1-2. And you have a team that Ohio State's been able to reload, and you have a team that beat Ohio State last year that's back with a lot of explosiveness and pop on offense. Then there's Michigan. And the thing that you can argue about Michigan over Wisconsin is, well, Michigan's beaten some heavyweights the last couple of years, and Michigan gets Ohio State at home. Your second tier, all alone, is Wisconsin. Do you have a problem with that being your top four as you're a month away from camp starting everywhere in the Big Ten?
No.
That pecking order, that list of Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin.
Those three teams in the East are the best in the East. And Wisconsin is by far, or, well, I don't know by far, but a decent amount ahead of the best team in the West.
Okay. Well, let's answer this, the trust question. Who do you trust most in the Big Ten? Is it Ohio State? And here's where I'm going to give you concerns for four, the top four.
Okay.
We'll give, you know, here's why I trust him, here's why I don't. We'll get to Nebraska in a second. I trust Ohio State because they have been very special at finding elite talent, getting it coached up, and then the turnaround time to step in and be better than your guy, specifically in the secondary, is documented. Their front seven's good. You got JT Barrett at quarterback. You have Weber at I-back. You got the center returning. What hurt Ohio State was passing. Okay, they couldn't throw downfield against Penn State, and Clemson was ugly. Are they going to be that same team? Well, they got Kevin Wilson now. And although it's year one, Kevin Wilson's been incredible. So there's my reason for faith. the reason that I'm maybe sketchy about what could upset Ohio State, it's the same thing, and that's the passing attack. Can someone shut their run game down and force Ohio State to win throwing the football? And can someone get lucky enough to have an off game from Barrett? Or at this point, he kind of is what he is passing. He uses it to sting you versus beat you. That's not his bread and butter. It could happen again because it's happened before. When I look at Penn State, defensively, their pass rush is gone. They have the target on their back. I love McSorley. Is his O-line going to be as good to keep him upright this year? Can Barkley stay healthy? Godwin's gone. He's off to the NFL. And there was a lot of 50-50 balls where McSorley would roll out. Let's play backyard chuck it. Mm-hmm. And Godwin came down with it, and it was a lot of fun to watch, especially if you had money on Penn State. Michigan, listen, they hear the noise. They have recruited well. Harbaugh's been good at finding elite talent and making it really, really quickly good, similar to Ohio State, at least going off his Stanford track record. His quarterback doesn't wow me, but he doesn't screw it up. Then there's Wisconsin. Here's where their Achilles heel will be this year. Their road schedule's not good. Okay, they're at Nebraska. They're at Northwestern for the West part of it. And I don't know. I got to double check if they're at Iowa or not this year. This might be the year where they're on the road all three times. So that's not good. Their defense is good, but you're still replacing some studs defensively. Linebacker-wise left. And then Hornibrook, does he do it for you?
No.
Does he scare you
at
all?
The last couple guys haven't at all, but they continue to win.
No, I know. I mean, they have the most pedestrian group of quarterbacks that just, oh, yeah, here's 10 wins, and we'll dirty an 11th bowl win.
Yeah, ever since Wilson. That's just what they've done.
Tier number three. Here are the beloved Huskers. Tier three exists 5 through 11 of the league. And from a tier ranking and a power ranking, Northwestern is 5. Northwestern's been good defensively. Thorson's going into his third year as a starter. Jackson's money back. They still just don't frighten me. They just don't. They're beatable. They have some tough road trips this year. Minnesota at 6, I think is extremely high. I don't know who their quarterback's going to be, but the point is it's not Leidner, so maybe there's hope. And PJ Flex, all right. Well, they mesh with his personality. Iowa, don't know who their quarterback is. You have Wadley back, and they just picked up a transfer from Nevada at IBAC that's going to be really good, that could help them out in the slot from a receiving standpoint. And you still got Josie at linebacker, who's really good. Nebraska in at number 8. I don't trust the fact that this system will be not even flawless, but just dependable until that halfway point in the year. I think there's that learning curve needed. And then the offensive line. I think you got plenty of options at IBAC. I think what you got at wide receiver, although thin, is good. I like your quarterback. I like Tanner Lee. I think he'll do fine. The O-line, though, can they block to provide balance? And defensively, how fast and effective are they playing in this new system? That's it. Northwestern, schedule, and they're still Northwestern when it comes to depth. Minnesota, I am not buying. I don't trust them at all because there is, 9 times out of 10, a step back with a coaching change and transition. Iowa, they have really done pretty good work, but now this is the start of the rebuild. They don't have their quarterback, and defensively they're good, but you lose King. So there's some key pieces that they've built up, and now they've got to kind of regenerate. Maryland at 9. I think there's enough talent at Maryland to be a 7-win team next year, but not this year. Indiana's got talent. There's a familiar guy in the headset. They're going to miss Kevin Wilson. They were special offensively with him. And Coach Allen defensively is very well regarded. If you would have had Wilson and Allen together, I mean, Indiana could have built up to an 8 or 9 win team. Based, you don't know who these cats that Wilson brings in are. By the time they're a junior, They're scoring points. They're making plays. Scales is an awesome linebacker. Look at the running backs Indiana's put in the league the last 3 years. Sparty at number 11 with the power ranking. My Lord, how the mighty have fallen, TJ.
They really have.
What do you think of this 5 through 11?
I'm just wondering, my question for you is, are Husker fans, have they come to the grips like this is where Nebraska has been? Kind of primarily, maybe you've been up to Tier 2, well, since the Big Ten, but I don't think you've ever been in Tier 1.
No. You've never been in Tier 1. And
like, I mean, you're more surrounded around the Northwestern and Iowa and Michigan State.
No, that's your neighborhood now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you could make a move and jump to Tier 2 if you knock off Wisconsin.
For sure.
And you win your home games.
Mm-hmm.
But right now, the ceiling is Tier 2. Get to Tier 2 and play for a conference championship. And then win it. And maybe
don't
you go
get blown out.
Right. But look at Penn State was probably in Tier 3 last year. Because they're working on 7-5s and 7-5s or 7-6s. This takes a year. So good stuff from SB Nation. His Big Ten power rankings, if you're wondering. Tier 4, Purdue, Illinois, Rutgers. Rutgers has enough talent in that area to jump up to Tier 3 in a couple of years with another Ohio State disciple at the helm. We'll talk about Bob Elliott, his great career, his time in South Bend. Alan Pinkett next on Hail Varsity Radio.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Charlie McBride, less than an hour. Jim Walden coming up. And we welcome in part of the Notre Dame Network. Second leading rusher. All-time, All-American, Notre Dame standout, Hall of Famer Alan Pinkett back with us on the show, at Alan Pinkett on Twitter. Alan, thanks for a few minutes today. How are you?
I'm doing excellent, although sort of melancholy today. But in terms of the second-leading rusher thing, you know, when I played, they didn't count bowl game stats, and I think if they took into account my bowl game stats, I might be the leading rusher.
Who's in front of you?
It doesn't matter right now. A guy named Autry Denson, who happens to be the running back coach for the Irish.
Well, I'm sure when you're down on the field, you let him know that, right?
I have intimated that he may not be the actual title holder, but he was a great back.
He was good. So are you. You're a lot of fun to watch. Alan Pinkett's with us. Alan, I appreciate you coming on the show again, and we catch up with you a couple, three times a year. And Bob Elliott was in Lincoln for 4 months. You know, he passed over the weekend, and very instrumental, very important to Notre Dame when he was part of the Irish staff. And I wanted to spend a few minutes with you just kind of reflecting on Coach Elliott and what he brought to Notre Dame, and just your interactions, what you remember about him.
Well, you know, I look at when Brian Kelly assembled the staff, you know, he put great importance on the defensive backfield. And so it was no mistake that he chose Bob Elliott. And, you know, they had great success in the defensive backfield. But the thing I remember him most for was he actually – after he got away from all of his coaching duties and became like this super analyst, mm-hmm. he actually went and visited teams that played against the triple option. And he came back with a scheme to stop Navy, to stop Army, to stop that triple option. You know, he came up with a defensive option that was going to be, you know, sustaining and viable and, you know, really send the message that, look, you're not going to run your fullback. You're not going to, you know, run for 300 yards on us. And, you know, I think where it really showed was in their game against Georgia Tech, I want to say a year ago,
mm-hmm.
where they ended up rushing for over 100 yards, but a lot of it was garbage at the end of the game. But for the main part of the game, I mean, they really held them rushing, and that was all due to Bob Elliott going out and scouting and finding out what really works. So, you know, we lost a great defensive mastermind. And on top of all that, real good guy. I mean, I spoke to him a handful of times,
mm-hmm.
but he was always so cordial. And, you know, those guys are always so busy, but he always took the time out to say hi to me.
You know, and he just seemed like again, short time here in Lincoln, but just from video and the outpouring of love, social media or in print or players or just go down the college football family, the guy loved what he did. I mean, and that showed. And the relationship building, I think, is, to me, what stands out most. Do you agree?
Yeah, and, you know, the key is always, what do the players think about him?
Yeah.
And you can't find a player that's going to say a bad thing about him. You know, because, look, a coach's job is to yell. It's also to teach. And as a player, you try to filter those things because sometimes they have to yell. And then you just, you keep the things that they say that are going to help you, and the other things just let go out the other ear. But, you know, Bob always had good things to say, you know, because he knew the game. So, you know, I always say the good ones leave us early, which means my butt's going to be here for a long time.
Alan Pinkett's with us, Hale Varsity Radio. We're remembering Bob Elliott, his time at South Bend, and the triple option is such a unique offense. And, you know, in Nebraska and playing Oklahoma all those years, I mean, that's something that I can smile about between, you know, Colorado's really good teams, late 80s, early 90s, or the OU Switzer years, or the option attack with Frazier and Steve Taylor and Frost. I mean, I love the offense. You just get to see it against Georgia Tech or the service academies. I want to spend a second on Notre Dame's schedule and just how versatile that defense in 12 that was great and carried you to a national championship appearance had to be, because you're playing Big Ten teams, you're playing service academies and triple option teams, and you're also playing some ACC squads that are spread it out and let's get dudes in space. I mean, that to me, what Diaco and Elliott were able to do in 12 and beyond is pretty impressive.
Well, you know, the one thing that happened in 12 is had a little dude named Manti Te'o.
Yeah, like, he's pretty good.
Seven or eight interceptions at the middle linebacker position. But, you know, all those guys were coachable. And Coach Elliott was a big part of that, you know, because they didn't get burned deep. You know, Notre Dame was a team that, you know, under his tutelage, you didn't really throw for a lot of yards. You tried to get your spots, but you didn't throw for a lot of yards because his guys were always in position to make plays, you know, and that's, you know, one of the things that, you know, I'll remember most about him is that when you got good coaching and you got coachable players, you're going to have success. And the defense that year is what took Notre Dame to the national championship. Although you think it might be the offense, the defense really kept people out of the end zone.
And that's, you know, why Bob Diaco's in Lincoln now. Coach Kelly, and I remember talking to you, Alan, you came on our show, and you said that year three is vital. By year three, you got to be playing for something major, if not the whole bag of marbles. And that's something that's just been true at Notre Dame. Does Notre Dame get through that schedule in 12 if they don't hire Bob Elliott?
No. I mean, that entire defensive staff had to work overtime to come up with game plans to stop people. Mm. And, you know, they had Everett Golson at quarterback, which was really his first year. And Coach Kelly will tell you, he sort of rode the bus to the national championship. He didn't drive the bus, you know. But that team was very, very strong defensively. And, you know, there's you know, a couple games that stick out in my mind. But the one game was the goal line stand against Stanford on a Saturday night in the pouring rain, where they just stoned them, I think, like three different times. Because Stanford, look, they are a macho team, and they want to run it up the gut. And Notre Dame tries to be as macho, and they stuffed them three straight times.
Alan, a thought or two before we say goodbye on 2017 in Notre Dame. 4-8 last year. You're coming off of a really good 2015 team, and the 2014 team was also extremely talented and had a really high finish to the season. Ranking-wise, what are you expecting this season, and how does it look for kind of a return back to 8-9 or better this year?
Well, I'm very optimistic. I went to see their spring game, and Notre Dame has a fleet of receivers. They got like four receivers over 6'4".
Wow.
And then they got a couple other playmakers, and they've got three legitimate running backs. They still have the number one guard-tackle combination in the country. And they got this quarterback named Brandon Winbush, who Coach Kelly is salivating over using because he can run. First time he ran the ball, he went for 56 yards against, you know, Massachusetts. But dude can run.
You'll take it, right?
Yeah, I mean, he will extend drives, and that's the thing. Keep the offense on the field. But I was equally impressed on defense with a guy named Drew Tranquil, who is back to full speed. He's had both knees operated on, but you can't tell now. And we've got an emerging star at defensive end named Dalen Hayes, who had four sacks in the spring game. But I think the most impressive thing is this staff that Kelly has, seven new coaches, six assistants, one strength coach. But the one thing that was apparent to me, all the bodies look good. You know how you want the muscles to be in the right place?
Yeah.
You know, all the muscles were in the right place on these players. So it's, you know, they're Ferraris, so you can't put regular gas in them. You got to put, you know, super unleaded in these dudes. But they look good, and for a vanilla game like the spring game, I saw a lot of potential. And we will know in the first month if they're any good or not, because it's a hellacious schedule in the first month.
Yeah, Temple and Georgia and, of course, Boston College. To get
Michigan
you going.
State.
Michigan State's right there, and they want to bounce back. About 60 seconds, Alan, your thoughts on Coach Diaco and how things could go for him and his defense at Nebraska. The transition's a question mark we have.
Well, Coach Diaco is maybe the most intense person I've ever met. But he's a guy who is a defensive mastermind. And, you know, under his tutelage, he was able to really put together – you know, a bend-but-don't-break type of defense, but also he really emphasizes the physical aspects of the defense. So if you got guys that like to hit, they're going to love being under Bob Diaco because he encourages that. And I just think that he's one of the great young minds. Yeah, I say young. I'm 53.
No,
but
I got
he's one of the great, he's one of the great young minds in college football. He's not done yet.
Well, Nebraska excited for it. Alan Pinkett with us, Hall of Famer at Notre Dame, the all-time leading rusher at Notre Dame, if you count the bowl carries, at Alan Pinkett.
Thanks for the qualifier.
On Twitter. And, Alan, have a great year. We'll catch up again soon to talk some more Irish, and thanks for your time remembering Coach Elliott.
Yeah, my pleasure. He was a great man, and thank you for letting me share a few thoughts.
Take care, Coach. Alan, thanks so much. Appreciate it. Alan Pinkett is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Alan, we're lucky enough to get in contact with him a few times a year. And being a Westwood One affiliate, we've had our share in Notre Dame for a long time and always loved and enjoyed doing or hearing him and his energy and great thoughts and the perspective you want when he's been at Notre Dame and he was there when Coach Elliott was at Notre Dame. And just some great insight there, thoughts on Diaco at Nebraska, and what Notre Dame is. So impressive there from Alan Pinkett. Alan Pinkett, I mean, guy could ball. And if you're a Houston Oilers fan, the run and shoot, yeah, remember Alan Pinkett. Him and Rozier, you got to get some Rozier stories out of him next time we talk. Okay, we'll talk Home Run Derby. The odds are out. Who's going to take it home down in Miami? Charlie McBride's 25 minutes away. Jim Walden next hour. Hail Varsity Radio continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
That's right, Kramer. Welcome back to Hail Varsity Radio. Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. We have your Home Run Derby odds. Let me tell you about Sauter Heyman, since we're talking diamond. Rick and the gang, your exclusive dealer of pure-grown diamonds. They're 100% real diamonds, except they're grown in a lab instead of mined from the earth. What's that mean to you? They're eco-friendly. They're beautiful. They're 10 to 40% less than traditional earth-mined diamonds. Birthday, anniversary, an I love you gift. I don't care what the reason is. Just go see Rick, save some money, and find some beauty. Pure-grown diamonds. Nebraska's exclusive dealer, Sauter Heyman. The biggest and best sellers there at Sauter Heyman. Pure Grown Diamonds. You can log on, sauterheyman.com. 12th and O downtown, South Point Pavilion or out west in Grand Island. Jim Walden is coming up less than an hour from now. Former Iowa State coach, Mr. Blackshirt, Mondays with Charlie, Coach McBride in 20 minutes. 466-3776. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. We'll give you a chance, too, before we say goodbye for another Hail Varsity Online subscription, a six-month gift from us to you. That is on the way. So are you watching the Home Run Derby tonight? In years past, I could care less. In most years, I could care less. Cespedes and Griffey Jr. are the only two guys to repeat as champs. Not going to lie, back in the day, ESPN Classic would run their rendition of Home Run Derby from the 1950s and 60s, which means I got to see Hank Aaron take on Willie Mays in a place that looked like Wrigley. I enjoyed it. It was black and white. It was fun. And
two big names.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, two of the guys that, you know, didn't, they weren't pin cushions. They were phenomenal.
Yeah.
So Home Run Derby. Here are your odds. I'm going to watch it tonight with Junior because Junior's all geeked up. He's an Aaron Judge fan because who isn't right now?
He's never hop on that bandwagon.
Oh, yeah. You can't say trendy without Carson Schmidt, yeah. Right? So he gets that from his mother. The All-Star break is done. We could spend some time whining about the Royals. We'll do that with Blair Kirkhoff tomorrow. Eight players, single elimination, 4 minutes, you're on the clock. And what they ought to do is do a bracket A, which they have, the eight best or qualified home run hitters. And then what they ought to do is snag a boatload of DHs or guys that are just overweight. Think John Kruk.
Okay.
And just see those guys sweat like pigs in a 4 minute swing fest.
All right.
That'd be kind of funny.
Yeah, wouldn't be bad.
The guys that aren't workout warriors, throw them at the dish. Let them hack away.
Yeah, wouldn't be bad.
Who's the super heavy set pitcher for New York?
Bartolo Colon.
Yeah, I want to see Bartolo in the Home Run Derby with 4 minutes go.
Yeah.
And hack away.
I think he had his first career home run last year at like age 44.
No, he did, but I mean, he looks like a...
No, but yeah, it'd be great.
Guy just came from a kegger. Yeah. He's heavy and he doesn't care, and I love him.
Yep.
All right, here's your seed breakdown. Your top seed is Stanton. He's trying to defend the title. The eighth seed is Gary Sanchez, a Yankee. So you have Giancarlo Stanton at 9-5. That's the odds. You want to win $5? You got to bet nine, so to speak. 16-1 for Sanchez. That's your official bracket A right there. 1-8 seed. Moose Moustakas, he's 14-1 against Sanos of Minnesota. Miguel is pretty talented. He can go long. He is 7-1 odds. So I would like to see Moose in this thing because Moose just don't care. He likes swinging away.
Mm-hmm.
He's been hot. In the other bracket, Aaron Judge, your 2 seed, a 9-5 rating by Vegas against Justin Bour from the Marlins, hometown crowd there. Bohr is 16-1. And then you have Bellinger of the Dodgers. I like him. He's 5-1. And then Blackman of Colorado is 20-1. Blackman is just...
He's an interesting cat.
He's filthy. And he looks like he's a biker because he hasn't shaved and he's doing the hippie look out in Colorado.
Uh-huh.
But the guy has hit for average. The guy's hit for power. The guy is a vicious, in a good way, center fielder. And he can fly. He's athletic. He has 5 or 6 triples on the year. And I enjoyed watching Colorado play a year ago. I haven't checked out the Rockies too much this year, but Blackman's good. Their offense is good. That whole NL West is sweet.
Yeah.
It's great.
So Bellinger, was he the 3 seed?
He's the three seed at 5-1.
I completely agree with those top three.
I mean, yeah. I mean, but what you're going to get, you're going to get Bellinger and Judge in the semis against Stanton and hopefully Moose from a local perspective.
I hope
would you
Moose.
Love that?
I would love that. But I got to say, my dark horse would probably be Miguel Sano. Just because I've watched the Royals and Twins a lot because same division, you play each other 50 times. It's really 20, but feels like 50. And Sano has really clobbered the Royals hitting. And Sano has the highest slugging percentage against slow fastballs. Mm. And what's going to be happening tonight? Slow fastballs across the middle of the
plate. They're
going
to be grooved right down the middle. Here you
so
have 4 minutes
dark
to
horse.
Hit. And the bonus time, think of this for soccer when they have added time at the end of a match because of injury or whatever. You blast one 440 feet, you can get a bonus. Mm-hmm. They'll tack on 30 seconds. I like that. And this thing's going to... Because, listen...
It has gotten better.
What turned me off is back, that clown.
Yeah, he's gone.
No, I know he is, but just that sucked, first of all.
It's all Ravi now.
And Ravitch is nice. And what you have now is you have a timer. It's not... And Poppy was fun to watch with his circus, but it took 1,000 years.
Oh, yeah.
This thing's now going to be more concise. Major League Baseball's concerned about pace of play. They're concerned about time spent at the Home Run Derby.
Yeah. Or you would have guys wear themselves out going so long in one round, like Bobby Abreu or
the
guy from...
Stan hit 61 last year.
Yeah, he's nuts. That's what I want to see. I want to see Stan versus Judge final.
Well, you got to. You got to have it happen. Mike Babcock
especially
off the top rope. It was Wrigley Field in Los Angeles, Chris. So the Home Run Derbies was in Wrigley Field in Los Angeles.
There you go.
It's kind of like you go visit Universal Studios and, oh, yeah, that's where Animal House was filmed. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's where Judge hit one because he'll probably win it tonight. I was trying to do a Home Run Derby draft. I don't have anything to give away for that. So we'll just give away some Salt Dog tickets right now. Is that okay with you?
Sounds great.
For Friday.
For Friday, VIP.
VIP. Four together, amazing seats, fantastic park, great team, and a tremendous atmosphere for you, the kids, you the girlfriend, you the whoever. Four tickets for you right now. Caller 5, VIP seats to the Salt Dogs on Friday. Caller 5 right now, 466-3776, 466-3776, toll-free 1-800-825-5865. Caller 5 now, a four-pack VIP seats for you to Haymarket. Get a cold one, get a hot dog, enjoy some great baseball. Be caller 5, make it happen now, 800-825-5865 or 466-3776. Caller 5 VIP tickets now for you to the Salt Dogs on Friday. 15 minutes away, Blackshirt McBride, Jim Walden next hour with Hail Varsity.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Saddle up it is. Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Alan Pinkett remembered Bob Elliott in hour one. We're about to say goodbye this hour. Next hour, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride will be with us, Jim Walden, and we'll spend some time on the five best you've seen. Popular social media topic, been a lot of thoughts and suggestions, and TJ and I will spend some time on that in a little less than an hour. 466-3776. Now, SEC Media Days are underway. Blair Kirchhoff will join us from SEC Media Days. I know Brett Bielema has been down there doing the rounds and had a very heartfelt thought about Coach Elliott, who he spent time with at Kansas State and obviously at Iowa. Nick Saban has not spoken today, to my knowledge. But, I mean, Saban's going to erupt down there, I'm pretty sure.
These teams that are typically the best teams in their division are really good teams. And You all may be taking the week off, all right, this week, but I'm not.
Thank you, Nick. Just getting warmed up. We have a whole hit parade of Saban anger, and it's going to be crazy. And the thing I saw on social media today that made me laugh out loud, there's a pool suggestion. $100 to the first media member who asks Nick Saban, who's playing for the national championship this year.
That's a good one.
How good would that be? Hey, Nick, what are your thoughts on favorites? You think Florida State and Ohio State are going to be playing for the championship this year?
Yeah, that'd be good. And then you'd be
he would rip the podium off its hinges,
yeah,
and throw it.
And then you had BMO today saying he couldn't understand Ed Orgeron when you first met him.
No, and you still can't.
Is it just me, or do the SEC media days keep like happening a week earlier every year? Like, I feel like next year they'll be before the 4th of July weekend.
We have no Major League Baseball after Tuesday, the All-Star game.
Yeah, got the ESPYs Wednesday.
You're right. Thank you for that reminder.
You're welcome.
Is that
something you usually don't watch?
Tell me how it is.
Okay.
No, but, I mean, Saban will lose his mind. That'll be great. You know, are you scared of Auburn this year? Nick, what do you think of that Northwest, South, Eastern State you play right before the Auburn game? I mean, he'll get fired up. Just like he was PO'd after the game last year, the national championship game. Quarterback's got to hit a pass. Maybe our great defense should get off the field. Now, in the locker room, he's the first to, like, tell players and privately smoke coaches. But he'll say, you guys, we didn't coach you well enough. I mean, he'll take the blame with his guys. I think he's pretty good with his guys. He's hard on them. But after a loss, they lose so rarely, he'll take that shot. But he'll unload on the media to get his point to his guys.
That he will.
Lars Anderson will be with us this week, too. His book is out on Bruce Arians, but also Lars in the thick of it down there in Tuscaloosa. Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride will join us. We'll talk some Nebraska football, and Coach McBride will remember Bob Elliott. That is next hour on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz and TJ Henning.
It's Hour 2, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmitz, TJ Henning, and you. It's that time. It's Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, and he's brought to you by Emeritus. No one likes to be distracted during the game. If you find yourself preoccupied by financial concerns, Emeritus can help you find focus and also protect your loved ones with disability insurance, life insurance, and investment planning. Also protecting your employees with retirement, dental, and hearing plans. And Emeritus keeping their promises for 130 years, giving you peace of mind. Proud to stand with the Huskers. Proud to bring you Charlie McBride. Coach, thanks for taking time today. And I appreciate you jumping on. And we'll start and kind of remember Coach Elliott. I know you were so close to him, and that's where we'll go first. And just a sad day for many.
Well, you know, it's a funny thing because, you know, when you're in coaching, it all isn't, you know, when you're out recruiting and everything, it's not all enemy stuff, you know. You know what I mean?
Right.
And some guys treat it that way almost. You know, they see you, and, you know, it's like you're the enemy and that. And Bobby was unbelievably opposite. Yeah. And so we had a great relationship because, you know, I think both of us were kind of on the same page about players. If they decided to go somewhere else, it was their choice. And, you know, we thought more about what they were doing and more what a lot of guys were selfish and, you know, just wanted to get some kid that no matter how it took or what it took mm-hmm. to get them. You know, and those are the kids that usually fail anyway, when they get that way. If you're just honest with them, and he was that way, players really liked him, I was just talking to Debbie this morning, kind of looked back. It's almost been over 30-some years that I knew him. And, of course, we spent time at the convention together. And, they said a lot of things that I read some of the things that Iowa had done and people that played for him. And they were all the same things I thought about him, how he was. And so I wasn't wrong.
Right.
It was the same. I asked him to help my grandson a little bit to try to get into a hockey camp at Notre Dame, and he did everything he could, and then all of a sudden the thing kind of shut down. This is before they had made a move up the university, and I knew something was wrong. And, he had had problems before. We had talked when he had them, and he has a lot of confidence in the medical team up at Iowa. They're a very good, medical center there on campus. And so a lot of his, a lot of his time was spent with his problems, cancer there, and his kidney problems and things. So he felt good about being there. And, I talked to him about that one time when I called him, and he was in the hospital, and he was pretty happy. He was getting out, he was all fired up. and those are the things when you see somebody when you're recovering and you're going to do good and you're going to go out and have fun. He had a great personality and nothing. He never complained ever about anything. And I think a lot of times the only way you'll get something out of it is out of him is to talk to him straightforward. What is your problem?
Right.
And then he'll talk to you a little bit about it, and then you can find out that way. But he's not going to come out and say, I got this and I got that. So that's the way he was.
What stuck out to me, and we had heard him speak, but I had never had a chance to meet him. Just obviously your thoughts and when you think so highly of somebody, that means a great deal to me and so many. But the fact that the guy was just so tough with going through chemo as many times as he did, and he was still coaching and he was still an awesome family man. I mean, he just did it all. That's my impression. Is the toughness.
Here's the thing. The players are the medicine. Being around what you really want to do, is the medicine for you. I mean, it isn't, I'm hurting on this and that. You go out in the field and you're a different cat. You go out there and you're in a different world. And whether you're hurting or you're not hurting or whatever's happening usually goes over the top of your head. And that's just the way it is. He was so excited when I talked way back when he first got, when all this stuff started happening, that he was going to get back on the field and it was going to be, it was like, we're starting all over again, and that's the way it was. And so a lot of times when coaches are, when you hear things and see things about coaches being on the field and teaching and doing the things they really like to do, that's like having an adrenaline shot in you.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, remembering Bob Elliott. Coach, you were able to go see him and spend some time with him when he first got to Nebraska. It was in the spring, and he had felt pretty good about how things were going in the spring and just what type of jump they were going to make. Am I wrong with that?
He was fired up. I mean, it was something. He had been at Kansas State. He all the time, whether it was I or anything, Nebraska kind of was still the, kind of a pinnacle with him, but he would never tell you that, of course, but it was. He really seemed like, boy, this is, I'm getting older, and maybe it was a little bit like Coach Riley. I remember him saying to his wife, "We may only have one more opportunity, and this is it, and I want to take it," and he did. And I think Bobby felt a little bit that way too. We really can do something here, and boy, we lost it. We lost an unbelievable amount of knowledge and players just, you know, I mean, you talk about players loving a guy. Well, that's the guy. And it really hurts when you see somebody like that. There was so much to this profession, you almost say, why wasn't it me? You know, and, sure. You know, it's tough.
Charlie McBride's with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, thanks for sharing your thoughts on Coach Elliott. I know it's been rough for you, not only with Coach Elliott, but also with Coach Cush we spoke about last week. And thanks for being so candid with us. I want to shift gears and talk a little bit about quarterback play. And I know your job was to go get the quarterbacks.
I don't like them.
I don't know that they like you.
No, they didn't.
You're right, they didn't. Tanner Lee, we had a chance to get caught up with him last week. And just really impressive, and you know that about him. But having a chance to spend a few minutes with him, you kind of reiterated that. And with him, and knowing what this offense can do, how it's designed, let's kind of pair those together. His skill set with what the offense can do to a defense, and give me your level of optimism here. Not overhyping. I know you're cautious about that, but give me your level of, you know, best case scenario with this. What do you think?
You mean with our starting quarterback?
Yeah, Tanner Lee's the starter. Yeah, what he can do with this offense, the fit.
I think what you have is a combination of first-class kids. First of all, you got kids that are winners. You got kids that are dependable. And his athletic ability probably overshadows the other quarterbacks. I mean, I'm just saying the top two quarter, right. three quarter, right. A little bit. I'm sure there's, you know, some of them have better running ability or whatever it is. But, you know, this guy can be a snake. I mean, he, you know, he can run. And I don't think people realize his overall ability. And I don't think they know it yet until they see him on film. You know, when they get ready to play him, they're going to find out. And I really think that he's a solid, solid character. And those, you know, you look back on the quarterbacks that we have, and there's not one that hasn't been solid. You know, that's won and been a great player. You know, Tommy, of all of them, you know, last year, I mean, here's a kid that was a great player.
Yeah.
And, you know, his character, you know, I don't know him like I did players have had us, but you know, I believed in his character. Mm-hmm. You know, he made mistakes, he did a lot of things, but you know, and I think he tried to cover up himself with a little bit of attitude outside, and I just think that was false. Yeah. I think it was like he was, sometimes you get scared and you right. do things that are a little different, and you see that in kids, you know, and a lot of people don't see any of that. But I kind of do, and, you know, you have a feeling after you're around players a lot. But I think that players that at quarterback right now, I think that all the Nebraska fans can feel like safe, you know. And it's not just one. It could be two, maybe even three for sure of them. So, so that's the way I look at it. I don't think we've ever had that opportunity to have that much skill set when I was coaching at Nebraska.
The skill set, the depth, and the potential's pretty high right now. And Coach, I want to spend a couple of minutes here before we say goodbye this week on Penn State, because it was year three for Franklin last year. They'd kind of gone 7-6 or 7-5 or whatever it is, and then all of a sudden, they get hot. I mean, they beat Ohio State. They beat Wisconsin. They should have beat SC. Mm-hmm. And McSorley's just one of those guys that, again, you said you don't like quarterbacks. He's one of those guys that you probably didn't like because he could run and throw. Barkley's great. And what do you think they'll do this year with that target on their back? A lot of folks haven't pegged to win it. They've already beaten Ohio State. A year ago, they got to go to the shoe this year. But do you think they can be as good as last year, or does that that pressure become tough to deal with here this season for them?
Well, I'll tell you what. The coaches have all had a chance to look at their personnel. Well, last year they didn't know really their personnel. Right. They didn't know. Now they know. And it makes a big difference to the defensive coordinators. And so there's certain things you have to stop to win. In other words, when you come up with a game plan, you're going to say, we have to stop this guy, period. Okay, number one. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know if necessarily, I'm sure Ohio State knew pretty much, but I think after they got beat, I think they learned a lot about them.
Right.
And I think everybody else did. And plus some of the young players that are coming up, I think they've got some first-class kids. But here's the thing. When we were playing them, they were independent. They had the whole East Coast locked up. All that northwest, northeast area, mm-hmm. was all Penn State. There wasn't anybody else. Now they're dealing with Maryland, Rutgers, you know, and all these other schools that are in the area, and they're not able to just run out there and take everything that's, you know, around. So, you know, some of it might be, a little overblown okay. in some ways, but you got a good state in Pennsylvania, and there's a lot of good players there, but there's also a lot of those kids that, you know, go elsewhere, and you can only give so many scholarships. So, you know, that's where your determination is what kind of people. After maybe you got a great five star or something like that, but what do you have after that?
Right.
And so, you know.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, you have a great rest of your week, and thanks for sharing thoughts on Coach Elliott today, and we wish you well, Coach. Appreciate your time as always.
Okay. Thanks a lot. I'll talk to you. I hope next week's was a little better week than this week was.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Coach, you take care.
Thanks, Abe. Bye now.
There he is, Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride, Mondays with Charlie on Hail Varsity Radio. Just some awesome insight and thoughts on Coach Elliott from Coach McBride. He reiterated his dislike for quarterbacks. That's so good. It's so good.
Those defensive guys, man.
Oh, I don't like them. We don't like you. That was funny. Remember asking him about Vince Young. And he's like, what do you do about Vince Young? He's like, pray. It was so good. Just pray. I love it. Love Coach McBride. He's the best. Good to hear from him. Jim Walton, Gentleman Jim, going to join us. Some more thoughts on Coach Elliott. We'll talk a little Pac-12 with Coach Walden. We'll get his thoughts. Let's get you qualified right now. We'll give it to you. Caller 4, caller 5 right now. A 6-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com. What's that get you? How about the ultimate online fan experience? Unparalleled coverage in football, basketball, baseball, volleyball, and recruiting. You got to be a part of it and catch what Greg Smith's doing with recruiting. A 6-month online subscription for you right now. Caller 4, caller 5. 6-month online subscription, caller 4, caller 5, 466-3776, 466-3776, toll-free 1-800-825-5865. They'll get you access to the message boards, get you premium content for online subscribers, inside info, recruiting analysis from Mr. Greg Smith, up-to-the-minute breaking news, tremendous staff. We love the website. We want you to be a part of it on us for 6 months. A subscription for you. Caller 4, caller 5. Right now, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Caller 4, caller 5. Now a 6-month online subscription for you to HailVarsity.com. You will absolutely love it. Okay, Jim Walden. Part of the Vandy staff, quarterback for the Bob Father, and a part of the Iowa State family. Coach Jimmy Walden, next on Hail Varsity, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Congratulations to those who qualified and won the 6-month online subscription to HailVarsity.com. We'll do more qualifications for that this week. And as we move forward, 7 out of 10, too many. That's the portion of unbuckled vehicle occupants killed in Nebraska last year. At a minimum, 69 alive today if they just buckled their safety belts, save more lives, click it or ticket, as law enforcement operations will be on the lookout for those violating the seatbelt and child restraint law. So please click it or ticket a message from the Nebraska Department of Roads and Highway Safety Office. We welcome in tremendous coach, Washington State, Iowa State, part of Coach Devaney's staff, and a quarterback for Coach Devaney. Call him the gentleman. Jim Walden is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, thanks for spending a few minutes with us today. And I remember speaking with you when Coach Bob Elliott was hired in February, and all the amazing things and attributes, knowing football, knowing the coaching fraternity like you do, sharing your time with us. Coach Elliott passing this weekend, and wanted your reflection, Coach, on Mr. Elliott and just what he was for you and so many in the coaching profession.
Well, I think, Chris, let me back up just a little bit and give an amazing history of the Elliott family.
Please.
I think, you know, you go all the way back, and people, the young people, even maybe guys way younger than me, and I'm sure you've covered this, Pete Elliott, Bump Elliott's uncle, was the head coach at the University of Nebraska way back when. And I don't know if you have not covered it. I'm not sure how many people were aware of it. I think he was only there a couple of years, left and went to Cal. I, at one time, was a trivia question, which head coach had taken two different teams in two different conferences to the Rose Bowl, and it was Illinois and Cal, and it was Pete Elliott. Then you have Brother Bump. Both were outstanding players at the University of Michigan, and two of the most wonderful people that you would ever want to meet. Now you move forward, and here's Jim Walden, goes, leaves Nebraska when Bob Coach Devaney retired, and I go to the University of Miami, Florida, and 2 years later, well, at that first year, my head coach was Pete Elliott. So I'm now working for the Elliott family, who I'd heard so much about. Through that association, Pete Elliott's son, Dave Elliott, comes to work for Jim Walden at Washington State and stayed with me for 15 years. A nicer, more unbelievably beautiful family you'll ever want to meet was anything that ended in Elliott, I used to say, whether you were talking to Bobby, whether you were talking to David, the Elliott family blended so well. That's why you're probably hearing so many people tell you so many good things about Bobby Elliott. I could tell you the same thing about Dave Elliott if we were talking about him. They were just marvelous guys in a profession that needs marvelous people, who I always say the key people in sports, you all don't, it doesn't take you long to figure out which assistant coaches put the players in front of the plays. And Bobby Elliott was one of those. He just had a great way, but he came from a long line of Pete Elliott, his father, Bump, who we all remember and know as the athletic director at the University of Iowa, former coach himself. His family tree was as distinguished as he was, and it's just, I guess the word would be maddening to know how hard he's fought, Chris, for 18 years to be a part of a coaching profession, which he gave a bunch more than probably he got out of it, but I know he got a lot out of it. But he was a wonderful limb on a beautiful tree.
Jim Walden's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. We're remembering Coach Bob Elliott, and thoughts and prayers with the Elliott family for sure. Coach, you mentioned the fight that he had. We just got done talking to Coach McBride, and he said something that's really stuck with me, and he said the players were the medicine for so many guys in coaching. And I think of 19 years of battling health problems like Coach Elliott did, and just the programs he went to, and he was that missing piece to me that turned a program from good to maybe their best year. I look at Iowa State, right, with Coach Mack, where they break through and win nine games. He follows Alvarez at Notre Dame, and it's an important he follows Alvarez at Iowa, and there's a Rose Bowl in the near future for Iowa. And then the Notre Dame success with their situation, year three, and got to play for a title if you're a Notre Dame head coach in year three, right? That's the rule, and they do.
You have to do it there too, Chris.
That's right. But I just look at the success, and I look at, you know, the influence on Diaco. I look at the influence on Bielema. I mean, he's touched so many people, Coach.
Yeah, and made all of them better.
Yeah.
I used to have an old gentleman that said the key to anybody's success is how many people have you had stand on your shoulder. And I don't know that there's been a guy that could truly, I'm sure there is somewhere out there, but we're speaking about Bobby Elliott. And when you look at his family, his history, how many guys he's let stand on his shoulder, how many people has he lifted to a higher level? And just by his presence, the things that he brought to a program, the manner in which he controlled himself and the way he did things. You just can't imagine how many people that I know in the coaching profession, and you can't find any of them that knew him, and there was lots of them, that will tell you any different that we got better the day he came. I mean, what a great tribute. I mean, if you're in coaching and everybody you coach with says the day we got Bobby Elliott on our staff was the day we got better as a staff, that's as good as it can possibly get. And that's all I ever hear and all I've ever heard about Bobby Elliott. And I went through the family tree because I keep thinking about Pete, who's no longer with us, and I think about the quality of that I got from his first cousin, Dave, on my staff. And they're just so, they just were so giving, Chris. It was just a wonderful family. And I feel bad for the Nebraska family today because they've lost a really good football coach.
Really good football coach and just a tremendous person by all accounts. And Coach Jim Walden is with us on Hail Varsity Radio, Iowa State and Washington State, and part of the coaching fraternity. Coach, you got about 3-4 minutes here, and thanks for spending and sharing your thoughts and insight on Coach Bob Elliott. I wanted to spend a second or two, if we could, on the Pac-12 as season's just around the corner, media day's around the corner, and what's your gut say about the Pac-12? How you feeling about how things will shake out? Not, you don't have to give me a straight up prediction, but who you liking?
I'll do this in a hurry. There's two really good teams in the South. One between really good and great would be USC. Mm-hmm. USC is, in my opinion, Chris, the cream of the crop this time. UCLA will give it a run. They are probably head and shoulders above the other four teams in the South. In the North, it's going to be probably Washington, I think, is a cut above everybody else. And then Stanford and Washington State, as I may add this, the winner of that game between those two have a chance to be the second-best team in the North. But I do think you'll see USC and Washington playing for the conference championship game. And I would not be surprised to see USC in the Final Four, Chris. That's a broad statement and a big brush, but I think they're that good, and they've got an outstanding quarterback. I think USC is maybe a cut above Washington now. They were a year ago, and I think they will be again. So USC is the best team in our league, followed closely by USC, Washington, Stanford, and Washington State. After that, it's just a bunch of guys trying to win more games than they lose.
What do you think of Oregon? Nebraska heads out there week two.
Nebraska will beat the crap out of Oregon. I predict that. I'm not sure about Nebraska's quarterback situation, but Oregon's away. Whoever's got them in the top four of any league needs to get them out of there. They've gone through an awful lot. They don't have. They're going to benefit by a great group of coaches that they put together, but especially on their defensive side. But they don't have the talent. They let the talent get away, Chris, and you saw that happen at Nebraska here too many years ago. And when the talent goes, coaching can't make a difference. They can't block and tackle. It's going to take a while to get some talent back.
We talked to Coach Leach quite a bit, and we don't talk a lot of football with him. We talk whatever else.
I was going to say, that's a strain. If you're talking football with Leach, you're one of the few.
Yeah, exactly. So we talk other things like Cuba, but you've got to be pretty excited.
Well, our pirating, you can, he'll talk to you about the pirate situation.
No, I know. He's good at it. But next time you bump into him, ask him about the sword he got Matthew McConaughey for his wedding gift. But
all right.
But you guys got to be feeling pretty good. I love how physical Washington State is, and I like how you throw the ball. I got it about 2 minutes here. You think you can beat 10 or 11 wins this year? You think they're that good?
No, they're not 10 good. They can't beat USC, and they can't beat Washington over there.
Right.
So they're at best they're 9. And if they don't, they generally figure out a way to stub their toe once.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's anybody else on their schedule that you could say they got to beat somebody they shouldn't. You might could put Stanford in that category. They're not going to beat the two teams that they should or they could or would like to. But they generally stub a toe more than they beat somebody they shouldn't. So I'd say at the most, I'd give them 9, but I'd probably 9. I think 9 would be a good number for this. He's really experienced. Got a real big physical football team. I think this could be his best team here ever, by far. And it needs to get done because he's got a whole bunch of older guys here playing.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say this about him too. I mean, they're 1-1 against Stanford and could be 2-0 in their last 2 years. So they've played the Cardinal pretty well.
Yes, they do.
Jim Walden is with us, longtime assistant at Nebraska, quarterback for Bob Devaney, and head coach at Washington State and, of course, Iowa State. Coach, always love chatting with you. Thanks for sharing your thoughts on Coach Elliott and talking a little Pac-12. And we'll get caught up again here before kickoff. How's that sound?
That sounds great, Chris. Have a great continued summer, and God bless the Elliott family.
Absolutely, yeah, Coach. Care. You take care. Thanks, Coach. Jim Walden is with us on Hail Varsity Radio. Thanks to Coach Walden for a few minutes and gave you the rundown of just the impact of the Elliott family and, of course, Bob Elliott. And the other thing he said, Nebraska will beat the crap out of Oregon. Jim Walden's awesome. There he is. We will talk the best five you've seen with your own eyes. Head to Memorial Stadium.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, chris@hailvarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Podcast will be up on today's show later. And just don't want to miss Jim Walden and Coach McBride on Coach Elliott. Also ran down Alan Pinkett of Notre Dame, spent a lot of time with Coach Elliott and reminiscing today, spending time talking Home Run Derby and the power rankings, according to SB Nation for the Big Ten. Nebraska coming in at number 8. Home Run Derby odds, they're out, who we like, what we want to see. And the 5 best, this tweet kind of went out, late Friday night, Saturday, and Greg Smith retweeted it, and I know you've seen it, and it's from Football University, 5 best football players you've seen. Pro stats don't matter. So we've all seen a ton of football, but I'm going to kind of narrow it down to the 5 best you've seen with your own eyes, either on the road when you took a roadie to go watch Nebraska or at Memorial Stadium. You can join us, can tweet at us at @Schmidt_radio, @TJ_Henning, or @HailVarsity, or email chris@hailvarsity.com, your 5 best. And let's do a couple categories. One, give me the 5 Huskers, and I don't care, pick an era. 5 Huskers that are the best you've seen, and 5 visitors, 5 players that came into Memorial Stadium, and you're like, got the win, get on the bus, get out of here. Don't need to see you again. So I thought that would kind of break it up, a little interesting, a little entertaining. And, I mean, you got a pretty obvious 5 for Nebraska, depending on the era you go with. And, listen, the best player I ever saw, and I've been going to games since the 80s, hands down, no argument. He was great against the best. He was unstoppable against the rest of the Big 8. Was Lawrence Phillips, okay? Ooh, breaking news. Lawrence Phillips is number 1. And then watching him in person just shake and bake and run by speed, power, agility, Florida in the Fiesta Bowl. It's number one. And then Tommy Frazier is number two. Not shockingly enough, especially the Florida game where he ran for $1.99 and they dismantled. So there's my bang bang right there, the 1-2. When we talk three, and this is so hard because Wistrom and Peter were, they were incredible. But watching Sue, I'm not saying Sue's better. I'm saying Sue with my own eyes is where I'm going to put them three, put him three, okay? But put Sue number three just because of what he would do, what he did against Oklahoma, what he did as one dude with a really good defense, but he made it better. He made it unstoppable in 09 and about the second half of the year in 08. He was that much of a game changer on defense. As good as people, I mean, as nice as Dave Remington was on, at center, and I didn't see Remington play because I was, you know, in diapers. Sue had the other side of the ball effect where he just took over games and disrupted. Mm-hmm. Made everyone else around him better. In it for Mike Brown. Safety, black shirt, All-American, incredible. And Mike Brown's a guy that his junior and senior year just was insane. And he won a lot of games for Nebraska. This is one road trip we took down to Arrowhead, and Nebraska outlasted Oklahoma State. They beat Oklahoma State on like a goal line stand, and it was Mike Brown and Mike Bad Mother Rucker combining for the stop. I'll never forget that game because, let's be straight, looked like they were going to lose. They won, and it was Mike Brown. It's Mike Brown sending Charlie McBride out a winner. Number five is Lavonte David. And my flashbulb moments for Lavonte are what he did to turn the momentum of the Ohio State game, forcing a fumble against Braxton, how fast he played, how quick he was. And a lot of the games he played at such a high level, I was not at. I was watching on TV. I'm thinking at Penn State. I'm thinking at Wisconsin and Madison. He was just incredible. He was only here 2 years, and man, oh man, he was insanely talented. And if you had 4 years of him, great, but you had two, be thankful for the quality and not the quantity. And pro stuff doesn't matter, but Lavonte's, you know, multiple-time All-Pro. He's a $56 million contract because he's awesome. So there's my five Huskers that I've seen. Again, I could expand it to seven, could expand it to 10, could give you a top 25. I could do all of that, but I gave you my five.
Yeah, and you've caught me a little off guard with this top five Huskers. I thought we were just doing top five overall. But for me,
well, you don't have to give me top five Huskers. You can give me just the five you've seen overall.
Okay,
it's
yeah,
all good.
That's what I'm going to do because that was the original question. All right, I got Sue in there in my top five. Although mm-hmm. I've seen four of these five guys in person.
They've seen T.J. Henning in person.
Yeah,
it's just rephrasing.
Yeah, for sure. The one guy I didn't see in person, I was debating between him and Larry Fitzgerald, but I chose Tim Tebow just because of longevity, going 4 years instead of two, seven losses in 4 years, 145 total touchdowns in his career. Just absolute winner.
Teej, you could have scored 145 of those.
Not at all. Not even close. Number four, Robert Griffin III, RG3. I remember when I saw him his freshman year when he was at Nebraska.
It was a tight ball game.
Oh, yeah. That guy could run around. I mean, he's got...
Extend plays. He, pre-knee injury.
Oh, yeah. He could... I think he has a track record down at Baylor. And then he turned into an awesome pocket passer. I mean, 72% completion percentage, nearly 4,300 passing yards his senior season. Vince Young, number two.
Cool.
Only four losses in 3 years. That guy, the USC game, never forget that. He was dominant. And then Adrian Peterson.
Good call.
I mean, nearly 2,000 yards as a freshman.
Yeah.
Get out of here, man. That guy was a freak.
AP, man, you just threw out a name that should make my top five, and he's not on it. And I never forget what he did against, like, is a bad Oklahoma team for them, 8-4. He was on one leg. This is like 05. They come up here and start blowing out Nebraska. Nebraska comes back, and they hold on to win. But it's Adrian on one leg because his ankle was swollen the size of my head.
Mm-hmm.
He still ran for 150. Against a good 05, against a good 05 team.
Mm-hmm.
Not great, but good. So here's my five guys to roll into Memorial Stadium. Barry Sanders doing what he did. Just YouTube the Oklahoma State-Nebraska game. Ken Clark was great that day, but Barry Sanders was fantastic. Dante Culpepper was nice. Incredible for Central Florida.
Mm-hmm.
He got treated like a pinata in the second half, but they had a 17-14 lead at half against the national championship team. Culpepper was 6'6", 250, and you're like, he's bigger than some of the defensive ends. Pat Tillman saw him against Nebraska in 1996. That was a forgettable game in the desert. But Pat Tillman was leading that charge. He was big time. Michael Bishop, quarterback of Kansas State, he was really good, and their team was really, really good in 97, but not better than Nebraska. And then Peyton Manning. Peyton didn't have a great game in the Orange Bowl, but he was still pretty accurate. And it was just cool seeing him mentally be that good. We'll wind down a Monday on Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Thanks for your time back with you. It's Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Chris Schmidt, TJ Henning, and you. Many thanks to Alan Pinkett of Notre Dame. His thoughts on Coach Elliott, Charlie McBride. Very candid, as you'd expect, on Coach Elliott with just what he meant to him and how much he cared for him. And Jim Walton knows the Elliott family extremely well. Reflection and thoughts. We also spent some time about the power rankings, the Pac-12, Notre Dame football 2017, and yes, the home run derby. Busy show. Can log on HailVarsity.com for the podcast. Go to iTunes. It's free. Or the ESPN Lincoln app will have the podcast available for you. It'll be up a little bit later tonight. So, who are you taking in the derby tonight?
I'm going to take Stanton.
Really? Home crowd?
Home crowd.
Okay.
Plus, he's really good.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, my dark horse is Miguel Sanu.
Okay. You're not going to moose it.
I would love it.
I'm going to just be sloppy here and say give me Moose against Judge. Give me Moose for the win.
Okay.
Over Judge.
All right.
That would be sweet.
That would be big. You mentioned Dante Culpepper in your top five. When was that game?
97.
You know? 97, okay. Because as a Vikings fan, I loved watching me some Culpepper.
Yeah, I know. The choo-choo.
Yeah.
Now, Culpepper was good in college, and he hurt his knee in the NFL.
Yep.
He was a tank.
Miami still hurting themselves over picking him
over
Drew Brees.
Listen. That doctor still isn't working. That doctor is now cleaning Snowflake's tank.
Oh, yeah.
That's what's happening.
That was a bad choice.
They still have Snowflake down there.
Do they?
I'm asking.
Oh.
You watch more Dolphin games than I do.
I don't know. I haven't watched that. I'm not a big Tannehill guy. I didn't want him in the first place.
You and South Miami are not big Tannehill guys.
Did you
saw him play Nebraska a couple times, and you're like, eh. Now, I will say this. Coach Sherman recruited so much first-round talent offensively and defensively.
Mm-hmm.
Again, Sumlin inherited some of that.
Yeah. So. I mean, Tannehill to me was a guy who just was all combine hype because he only played 2 years of quarterback.
He never did better than 8 wins. And his last year was 6-6.
Mm-hmm.
Something like that.
There's one guy every year just combine. He does straight, and he was that guy. And it was just like, I'm not buying it. He's gotten slowly better, but just I feel like he's kind of at his ceiling.
Is he a 4,000-yard passer? Has he eclipsed that at all? Once, maybe?
I can't remember on the top of my head, but
is his touchdown interception ratio still like 21-15, assuming he's hit that 20 number ever?
Yeah, it would be around there.
I just don't know what they got offensively. Post Ricky Williams. That's 100 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, you had Jay Ajayi do some good things last year. A
couple weeks he hooked me up.
Yeah.
All right, where are you watching it?
With my grandpa. I'm gonna go take him out to dinner tonight.
Oh, good.
So, yeah.
Nice. Grandpa, big home run derby guy?
Probably not, but we'll watch it.
He doesn't. He just doesn't know that he's a big run, big home run derby guy yet.
That's right.
Good work. Teach, we'll talk to you tomorrow, man. Thanks.
Yeah, sounds good.
Blair Kirkhoff will join us tomorrow. And Mr. Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet, will be with us. Thanks to Alan Pinkett, Jim Walden, and Mr. Blackshirt, Charlie McBride. Talk to you tomorrow. Find us at 4, Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Have a good night.